The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
End of the service, and we'll pass those out. I think that was announced on Sunday about Sunday school teachers picking up your lesson, and I didn't see many of them picked up. We need to make sure we get that to you tonight so that you can teach that for this coming Sunday. And so we'll try to serve you here, and maybe your husband is not here, maybe your wife is not here, they're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you have a mom or a dad that might be a Sunday school teacher, they're not here. We'll pass those out at the end of the service. That's very important. We normally pass out a book. You remember how we started doing that? Oh, I think about 4 years ago. But with Mrs. Cavanaugh being sick and some other key players and getting that done, we're a little bit behind. I do apologize for that, and we'll try to have that to you as soon as possible. But this lesson will be like the old days. You remember the old days? And the old days, what we would do is we'd prepare one lesson at a time per week, and then we would pass it out on the Sunday prior, and then you'd have to go down, remember the old folders we had, and you'd have to go down and kind of go through the folder and find your name and get the lesson and stuff like that. And so this brings back good memories. And so it makes you thank God more for the books too. And so, all right, good. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. I think probably this is a very misunderstood verse because people only read the verse and they read it out of context. And so what I want to do is I want to examine the verse. And as you read this particular verse, and if you were to read it contextually, you'll see that it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit, if you were to read the verse that follows that, works in our heart, then what takes place is we have a desire to be able to please Him in these areas. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Those that misunderstand law and grace often call those that have standards and strong convictions legalists. The problem with that is that it reveals that they have a gross misunderstanding of the Scriptures. A legalist is somebody that adds something to salvation apart from grace and faith, or grace through faith. Legalism is adding good works. If a person says, "Well, I believe you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and do good works in order to be able to go to heaven," that's what you call a legalist. If a person says, "Well, I believe that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and be baptized in order to go to heaven," then that's what you call a legalist. If a person believes that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and have church membership or take communion or confirmation or a confession, if you would please, where you go to a confessional booth and confess your sins, which ones you choose to a priest, anything that you add to faith in order to be saved is legalism. Now, these sometimes are sincere but definitely misguided people when it comes to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, and they offer a wrong interpretation of the Scripture. Let's go and let's see what the Bible is talking about. Statement number one, the misunderstanding of Christian liberty. Now watch this again. The Bible says here that talking about the Holy Spirit, if you will, "Now the Lord is that Spirit." So he's pointing out most definitely who that Spirit is. And in studying the Holy Spirit, we see that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And verse 18, if you were to read it further, you would see that it shows that there's going to be a change. And so when you get to know the Holy Spirit close up, the Holy Spirit changes you. When you get to know the Holy Spirit close up, the Holy Spirit becomes your guide. He becomes, if you will, your paraclete. He's the one that walks beside you. He's the one that can give you wisdom. He's the one that will bring, and you know this to be true. How many of you have ever been out soul winning, or you're trying to counsel someone, or you're just trying to be a friend, and you're trying to help them, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, it seems, that now you are able to share at least a portion of a verse with them that you didn't even know that you knew. How many of that has that happened to you? Yeah. You know who brought that verse to your remembrance? The Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit can help us. And misguided people would say that since the coming of the Holy Spirit during this age, that rules are no longer important and standards are of little value. But if you'll notice here, the interpretation of these words, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's meaning where the Spirit of the Lord is. Now think about this. The Christian, some people interpret this, is a person that has perfect liberty. In other words, now that I'm saved, I can do whatever I want to do. That is not the interpretation of the verse, okay? He wants to follow his own spirit and says, well, okay, since I'm following my own spirit, I can do what I want to do, and the rules of the land or the law of the land is only what is important to me. No, they forget this. They forget that the Spirit of the Lord wrote the Bible and that the Bible always lines up with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you will never have a leading of the Holy Spirit that is against Bible truth. The liberty here is not talking about the liberty of the believer. Nowhere in this verse does it name the believer. It's talking about the liberty of the Holy Spirit to be able to lead the believer. That's what it's talking about. So God is not saying that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's the liberty of the believer to do what the believer wants to do. That's not the teaching of the verse. The teaching of the verse is that he is talking about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the liberty of the Holy Spirit to be able to work and to do his will in the life of the believer. It is the Spirit of God that has the liberty. It is the Spirit of God that has the liberty. So when we read a verse, it's good to read the verse and read it in context to be able to understand the valid teaching of that which is the Bible. So there's the misunderstanding of Christian liberty. Then you see there's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not have to lead where the Bible has already spoken. The Holy Spirit does not have to lead where the Bible has already spoken. I'll give you an example. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Now watch this, and they are life. All right, now what's he saying? Where do we get that spirit? Where do we get that leading? Where should we develop the right attitude? Where is it that we find our life? We find that in that which is the power of the Word of God. Example, the Bible makes it very plain that the Holy Spirit wants the ladies to wear modest apparel. I think everybody would agree with that. Okay, over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, in like matter also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness, the Bible says, in sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. All right, so wait a minute. When it says that and it's teaching that, understand what it's saying and what it is teaching there, then a person doesn't have to pray about. A girl says, I'm going to pray and see if God leads me to be modest. No, if God has already showed it in the Bible, then you simply obey the Bible. Because where God has spoken, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead any differently. The Bible teaches that a man is not to have long hair. Yeah, it does. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, doth not nature, okay, so nature's going to teach us something. What's nature going to teach us? Nature's going to teach us about the length of a man's hair. In other words, naturally, is that right? So naturally, it doesn't grow out the forehead. Naturally, it doesn't grow down the back. Nature's going to teach us these things. The Bible says, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. Okay, so then the Holy Spirit is not going to lead somebody to have hair, if you will, on a man that is different than what God in his word has said to do. So the misunderstanding of Christian liberty, the Holy Spirit does not lead where the Bible has already spoken. He doesn't have to lead. Statement number next. Man's ways, that's man's spirit, does not always line up with God's ways, God's spirit. They don't always comply one with another. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, the Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your thoughts my thoughts. Now, who is saying that? Saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, what he's saying that man's thoughts do not always agree with God's thoughts. Have you ever thought something and you read it in the Bible and you found out it was different than what you thought? I've done that many times. I've listened to preachers preach over the years, and one message, I remember one message at River Valley Ranch when I was a young man, when Dr. Ryan Riley came and he preached sold out Christians. That one message changed my life for all eternity. One truth. So these students of the Bible would lead you to believe that, well, you know, rules and standards, they're kind of broken down, and the teaching of God's Word, as far as God's expectations, have changed, and they're even lower today than they were before. When Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, the Bible says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death." Now watch the change. Watch the change. He said, first, here comes in that which is the law, it says, of the Spirit of life. You have two laws mentioned in this verse. You have the law that is the Spirit of life, and you have the law of sin and death. So there's two laws that's mentioned in this verse. So here's what we see in this particular verse, that the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ had made me free from the law of sin and death. So one law, if you would please, removes that which is another law, takes the place of it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, so it teaches that now we're under a different law. Now, what is that law? That law is now the law of love and grace. Okay, so did you know that grace always exceeds the law? Did you know that love is always greater than the law? We'll see that in just a moment. Here's what we see, the misunderstanding of Christian liberty. We see the Holy Spirit does not have to lead where the Bible has already spoken. We see that man's spirit, does not always line up with God's ways and God's spirit. Then we see this, that God expects more from us under the law of love than under the written law. You remember, here would be a Roman soldier, and he would stop, if you would please, he'd stop a Samaritan. And he would say to that Samaritan, the Roman soldier would, he would say, okay, you need to carry my backpack or my weight, my groceries, my package, my sack, you need to carry it 1 mile. And the Bible instructed that one that was instructed by the Roman soldier, no, don't carry it 1 mile, carry it 2. So the Christian is always supposed to do more than what is asked, not less than what is asked. All right? And so we understand here that God expects more from us under the law of love than he does under the written law. Let me read you some verses and then you decide for yourself, okay? Think about this as I read some of this. Under the old law, you see that man is not to kill. That's under the old law. Man is not to kill. Under the new law, God says this, that man is not supposed to be angry, call his brother a fool because it's committing the same sin. So what happens is there's that law of love, or that love of the Spirit, that God expects more out of that person than he does less. Here's the example, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Says, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law." He said, "Or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Verse 21, same chapter. He says, now watch the terminology. He says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them," listen to terminology, "of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Now listen to this. He says, "But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." So under the old law, thou shalt not kill. But it sounds to me like under the law of the Spirit and love, it even goes further than the old law. Give an example. Under the old law, a man's told not to commit adultery. Is that right? Under the new law, he says if a man looks on a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's already committed that. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, the Bible says, ye have heard it was said, listen to the terminology, by them of old time. So that's the old law. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Pretty clear. Pretty clear. Verse 28, the Bible says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman and lusteth after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So it sounds to me like under that which is the Holy Spirit leading us, we know already there's a danger if you even start to think that way without committing the act. So it sounds like that which is the law of grace and the law of love supersedes a written law. See, God expects the Christian to always go further in obedience because of their love and submission. You think about this. The Bible teaches here that in the case of our Lord, he reminds us that under the law of love, it goes beyond that which is the law of the letter. Listen to it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38, the Bible says, have ye not heard it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? But I say unto you, Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him, it says, the other also. So now, wait a minute. Now we're just talking about smiting on the cheek. He said, look, somebody does that. Here's what you do. Turn the other cheek too. Then he says this. Look at verse 40, chapter 5 of Matthew. The Bible says, and if any will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. So notice this, that the stricter the law, here's what we see, there is more of the law of that which is the law of love. He says, okay, or the law of grace. So he says, now somebody comes up and says, hey, give me your coat. He says, what you ought to do, give him your cloak too. What's he talking about? Going extra. Other words, don't just look. Stay with me, Christian. Don't just look at the bare minimum that God expects and say, wow, did I fulfill that? Whew, I just got by. Don't forget, there are Christians, even in the Old Testament, such as Joseph, that lived on the edge and paid a great debt. You remember that? Joseph was in charge of the household of Potiphar's house. Remember the story? At that time, all those that was in the house of whom he was in charge of the schedule, he scheduled out of the house. He was in charge of their schedule. What's he doing? He's getting too close to the edge. Then all of a sudden, after everybody's out of the house, he gets in close to Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife takes his jacket, holds it, then cries wolf on him. Remember the story? He gets sent to prison because of it. You remember that? What did he do? He decided, I'm going to live on the edge. And when you live on the edge, if you're not careful, you will possibly be pulled to the other side. So it is far better to live the Christian life above than it is bare minimum or below. Example, I'd rather read too much of my Bible than not enough of my Bible. I'd rather teach my kids too many Bible principles than not enough Bible principles. I'd rather attend a church that had higher standards than lower standards. I'd rather be under somebody that was too excited about preaching than somebody that was not excited about preaching. I'd rather be around a Christian that was supercharged than undercharged. Sure. Okay, so we notice here that the Bible teaches about that letter of love, that letter of the law is superseded by the letter of love. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43 will continue. The Bible says, "And ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Oh, here it goes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Oh, come on, you kidding me? "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you." All right, listen to it. "Do good unto them that hate you." Come on now, are you for real? The Bible says here, "And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." Oh, you say, "But so and so, they're getting on my nerves." How many times have you prayed for them? How many times have you given them a gift? Hey, let me help you out a little bit. Every time somebody gets on your nerves really bad, do something good for them. That'll test your Christianity. Oh, yeah. By the way, that'll help you with your pride. It sure will. You ever see somebody gets upset and, oh, man, they get all huffy? By the way, doesn't the Bible teach that a man's gift maketh room for him? Yeah. It's easy to give somebody a gift that you love. It's more difficult to give somebody a gift that rubs you the wrong way. Now you wait till Sunday night. This pulpit will be full of gifts. And you're going to say, "Oh, I know what their motive was." So the words teach here very clearly that it's the same truth under the law as it is under that which is love and under that which is grace. But here's the difference. It's the Spirit that makes the difference. Example, the Bible says that when you rebuke a scorner, the word scorner, if you'll do a word study on it in the book of Proverbs, when you rebuke a scorner, he'll hate you. He's going to hiss at you. He's going to get upset with you. You know why? Because he's criticizing you behind your back. So when you rebuke a scorner, hate comes out. Wait a minute. But when you rebuke, it says rebuke not a scorner lest he hate thee. But when you rebuke someone that loves you, the Bible says they'll love you all the more. Can I tell you something as a young person? When your parents rebuke you, you ought never to allow hatred in your heart. Amen. Never. Amen. They're looking out for your best interest. They care about you. They love you. They're trying to protect you. They're trying to keep you out of trouble. Don't forget, mom and daddy's older than you are. They've already been down the road maybe twice the amount or three times, depending on their age, or four times or 10 times the amount than you have been. Oh, don't we have such a cocky society where across our college campuses, they say, it's so funny, years ago, they pressed for free speech. Now they're wanting safe zones so nobody can speak to them because they're afraid they're going to get the feelings hurt. In our public school system, they're trying to do away with grades because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings that would get a C, D, or an F. They don't want the boys to go outside and play football anymore because they're afraid they're going to hurt themselves. Hello. That's the society in which we live. Now, that ought not to be. But I will tell you this. Here's what the Bible says about the spirit of that which is the spirit of love or the spirit of grace and how it supersedes that which is the spirit that you find underneath that which is the law. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "Who also, listen, hath made us able ministers." It says of the New Testament, not of the letter. Listen to it now. Not of the letter. Well, I'm going to go soul winning because I have to. Oh, no, not of the letter. Well, I'm going to go to church because after all, it's what God says I have to do. Doesn't say of the letter. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to listen to this type of music and act this type of way and talk this type of way because that's what I got to do. You're not supposed to be doing it because of the letter. Amen. That's not what the Bible teaches. Here's what the Bible teaches. Whosoever hath made us able ministers, it says, of the New Testament, not of the letter, but, watch it carefully, of the Spirit, for the letter killeth. Listen to it now. But the Spirit giveth life. Now, the Bible is not going to kill, but it's your receptiveness of it. That's what makes the difference. I believe my spirit is still the same today as it was when I became a new believer. And that is, if God shows me something in the Bible, I really do want to obey it. I do want to obey it. Because my spirit is, Lord, I love you so much, I know where you saved me from. Amen. As I was talking to Gilberto today, and and he was the one that served her table and whatnot, as Kevin and I was here, Brother Craig and I was eating in that restaurant, and I told Billy Craig, I said, man, we're the only ones in the restaurant. Yeah, I'm going to go witness to him. And so I went over and I stood beside him and I said, look, I'm a pastor that's in Mesquite, and we came out here and did a funeral today, and you don't have anybody else in the restaurant, just my friend right over there. And I said, so you're not busy, I'm not busy, so that means that we can be unbusy together. And in so doing, I'm concerned about something. And that is that you be able to go to heaven one day, or at least have a good understanding of how to go to heaven. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a few minutes and I'm going to read you some verses and I'm going to show you what the Bible says. But first I want to ask you, do you know you're going to go to heaven? And he said, no, I don't know that. I said, well, would it be okay? Nobody's in here, but I don't want to take away your, oh, I don't have your responsibilities. Okay, good. Let's go through the Bible and see what the Bible says. Went through the Bible and man, he was just right there, just right there, just right there. And he said, oh yes, I need Christ as my Savior. That's very evident. And he bowed his heart and he received Christ as his Savior. Now wait a minute, what happened is God gave him life. He's not under, if you would please, the judgment of the law now when it comes to his soul and him going to heaven. No more. Covered by the blood. Hello. Saved through Christ. All right, now we understand this. All right, so there's a different reason for our actions. Now that you're saved, it shouldn't be, well, I'm going to obey God because I have to. I'm going to go to church because I have to. Somewhere along the line, we have to mature enough that we say, I'm going to do this because I love Him. I love Him. Let me give you a couple of examples. The Bible talks about how the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So there's a big difference between those that say, well, I'm just going to do it because my parents say I have to, because the academy says I have to, because the college says I have to, and a person that says, I'm going to do this because I see the value of it and because I love the Lord. There's a big difference there. So here's a person that goes to work. They get a job. They don't like the job, but they got character. So what they do, they keep going to work. Now, they don't like the boss. They don't like all the responsibilities that the boss puts on them. They don't like to fulfill the response, but they got character. So what they do, they still do what they're supposed to do. They go to work. They do what they're supposed to do. They listen and they obey the boss. After a couple of months, conditions hadn't changed, but they'd gotten to know the boss. Now all of a sudden they say, well, I guess the boss is not all that bad after all. And now they've gotten to know the boss even more as they've worked there for several months. So now that distaste that they had in their mouth for that boss has changed. They've learned that that boss has also gone through the same type of trials coming in and working in that restaurant, let's say, or working that place of business, has come in and started right down where that person is, but over a period of time, they grew. And now they're doing well. And so that person understands this and has a new appreciation for that boss. And now they go to church, same responsibility, but a different view. Here was the law. Here's the Spirit. Here I did it because I had to. Here I did it because I loved to. Big difference. My prayer is that every young person and every adult that's under the pitch of my voice will one day serve God, not because my parents told me I got to work a bus route. I hope one day you do it because you love the Lord. My parents told me I got to sing in the choir. I hope one day that you grow in your maturity enough that you do it because you love the Lord. Well, my dad said I've got to read the Bible through. Oh, bless your little heart. But I hope that one day You read the Bible through because you love him. He's the one you ought to love supremely. So here's the teenage girl. Mom says, you know, one day, honey, you're going to get married. One day, because you're going to get married, you need to learn to iron shirts. Be good for you. So from now on, since you turn 13 years of age, you're going to start to iron all your daddy's shirts. Oh, she's doing it now, age 13, age 14, age 15, age 16, age 17. She hates every single shirt. She knows where all of the little stitches have come out. She knows where there's a bubble she cannot get ironed. It's always going to be a bubble. I mean, for men, as we grow, it's normally in the middle, but it's a different type of bubble. Oh, she hates it. She hates it. She says, I wish I wouldn't have to do this. I just wish I would not have to do this. And all of a sudden, around 17, 18, 19, or whatever, here comes this boy along. Yeah. Might be 20 for some, might be 21, 22, 23. And all of a sudden, oh, about mid-20s or so, they get married. She finds out he's got shirts too. Finds out he likes to wear shirts that's pressed too. He likes to wear shirts at the church too. He looks at her and says, honey, would you iron my shirt? And she says, oh, would I ever? I'll iron them. I'll sit up all night and iron them if you want me to. I love you so much. Now, the shirts hadn't changed. Shirts hadn't changed one time. Responsibility, plugging in the iron, warming it up, hadn't changed one time. Responsibility of taking that iron, putting it down on that shirt, on that ironing board, hadn't changed one time. The difference is the spirit. The difference is the love of who they're doing it for. Let me give you this and I'm done. You know, there's some people that come to church and you can tell. If they could be somewhere else, oh, they would. They got that look on their face like they've been sucking on lemons, or in some cases, prunes, as soon as they walk in the door. But now, wait a minute. They're coming. And I don't expect everybody to come to church and smile. I don't expect that. But it sure would give your face a relief from time to time if you cracked one every now and again. But now, watch this. And so here comes that person in the church, and it's like, ugh. And people are kind of afraid to get around them because they've been bit by dogs before. And so, but after a while, they start to loosen up and they realize that God loves them. They realize God really does care. They realize that, hey, God will help me if I let him to. And now they come to church a little bit more relaxed. And it's like, wow, I can't wait to learn something from the Bible. It's going to be good. There's going to be a gold nugget in there. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to find it. Can't wait to adopt it and make it personally mine. So now they come to church a little bit more excited. And now they're beginning to enjoy it. Used to be that a mom would have to hit them and say, sing, would you sing? You're embarrassing me. Would you sit up when the preacher's talking? It's rude to keep your head down a whole time. Sit up, give respect, you know? But then all of a sudden what takes place is now they start to fall in love with the preacher, oh, and the Bible, oh, and the Lord. So now it changes their disposition. Because what's in the heart begins to be revealed outwardly. Watch this, and I'm done. Over in 2 Corinthians 3:17, last time I'll read it. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. All right? You can look at this and see that it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. I've been around preachers most of my saved days, and I've heard preachers say this, oh, Brother Wells, I'm getting ready to preach, Oh,
Brother Wells, would you pray that God would rest upon me so that I can have liberty? I've seen preachers get up to preach and they're tightly wound. And I think, oh, he never got into that, did he? Yeah, there was no liberty. I've seen Christians go to the hospital, and I'll tell you, Emily impresses me. That little girl, she's laying in that hospital. Brother Butler, I think it was that went with me just the other day. And so Brother Butler and I went down there, and I commended Emily. I said, your spirit is amazing to me. The Bible says that a man's spirit will sustain him during times of infirmity. You're in an infirmity right now. You're sick, but you had an amazing spirit. I mean, smiling, talking, not heavy, not depressed. Now, what is that? That's the spirit that she's deciding to walk in. See? But now, can I say that some people don't even have that when they're well? The more you learn to walk in the spirit, the more liberality you will have to be able to enjoy your Christianity. I'm done. I feel bad for people that don't enjoy being saved. I do. I feel bad for them. If you're going to go on a trip, you might as well enjoy it. I feel bad for people that's married and don't enjoy being married. I feel sad for teenagers growing up in homes that they don't want to be in. That's sad to me. Because if everything is all right, home should be a little bit of heaven. It should be good. Church should be good. All depends on your spirit. You bring your spirit into the presence of the Holy Spirit. The influence of the Holy Spirit changes your spirit. That's what that verse is talking about. Where the Holy Spirit is, there's liberty. There's liberty. But you've got to step into His presence to understand His liberty. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for tonight. God, I pray that you'd help us to understand Christian liberty is found in obedience to the Word of God and as we walk close to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.